Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Ted Santos, and I am your co-host of The Creative Alchemist. And we come to you live every Thursday at 7 p.m., and we talk about business, the creative aspects of your business, the money aspect, the transformational aspect, and we even talk about your health. We talk about everything here. And that may be a key word for us tonight, but before I move on, I'd like to introduce my co-host because I never take this journey alone. Lori, let them know you're here.
Hello, and thank you, Ted. So, Lori Miller, LGC Interior Design, and it's so nice to be back with you. It feels like just yesterday, but I know it was a week ago. Tonight's guest is a woman named Susan Klein, and Susan has managed to, I guess we call it pivot these days, but to pivot in a multitude of different ways and has taken the word marketing to a whole nother level. So, Susan, if you want to introduce yourself, that would be great.
Hi, this is Susan. How are you tonight?
Great. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks.
Thank you. So thank you for being on our show. We're looking forward to hearing, what you do, how you do it, your thoughts on how to survive in a COVID world or a not-so-COVID world. So you do quite a bit of things. Do you want to tell us what you do?
Sure. So I am, not only am I a chef, but I have a baking specialty degree as well.
Mm-hmm.
I was with a corporation. I was with my parents first in Manhattan. COVID would have definitely destroyed that, but that closed down like 3 years ago. And then I went into corporation. I never thought I'd go corporate world, but I went in with TGI Fridays and stayed throughout the pandemic, which was very interesting, to say the least, because of how the roller coaster ride for the pandemic took everybody. But certain corporations were able to make it, i.e. TGI Fridays, and then unfortunately certain corporations didn't make it, which is an unfortunate thing for everybody that is now on unemployment. Where I went into the marketing field was picture aspect, the selling aspect. You know, when you're a server and a bartender, you learn how to sell certain things. That's what marketing is. It's sales. Mm-hmm. It's sales on a computer. It's the picture highlights. It's going and trying to help somebody, especially in this time of world that we are in. It's helping them achieve their goals, which in turn helps you achieve yours, whether that's putting food on the table or putting a roof over your head, or just paying your bills, like your car payment and your insurances and stuff like that.
Yes, I
do whatever I can to survive, and I do whatever I can for someone else because I know how it feels.
So when you say you do for someone else, what does that mean?
There are people out there, there are friends of mine out there that have certain needs. Like, I have a friend of mine who is an advocate, and, you know, I'll go out there and I'll just throw them out there, and I wouldn't charge. There are people out there in the corporate world that don't know how to do their marketing. So, you know, there are different search engines like Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and LinkedIn and Google and Yahoo. You know, you just got to be able to point them in the right direction. Sometimes they can't afford my structure. So you throw them out there once, and if they come back, that's great. And if they don't, you wish them well.
Sounds good. So what are the, I guess, the multitude of things that you do besides everything? Like, if you could break it down for somebody.
A friend of mine has a cookie cake company. I drive for her. I have taken on a pig catering job for August, which I'm doing from the hors d'oeuvres all the way to the wedding cake. That's a big deal. I'm trying to, you know, get some of my friends involved that need the extra money. Everybody's just like, oh, I don't know. You know what? It's kind of like, you know, you either want this or you don't.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do this party. It's 150 people. I'm going to do what, you know, providing that the rules of COVID, you know, substand everything else that's going on. Because, of course, if that doesn't happen, then the wedding doesn't happen.
Yep.
So everybody is at the COVID mercy, which is what I call it. Every restaurant. I was just talking to a friend of mine who's a GM of TGI Fridays in Massapequa. Her numbers have dropped. I mean, and they were in a yellow zone, so they could only fit two people at a table of four people for a table. You know, so they have certain rules and regulations that they have to follow, which means they're not feeding their families. That's what I mean by certain corporations.
Mm-hmm.
I went upstate and I looked at like the different TGI Fridays upstate, and some are doing well and some look very deserted. I have friends of mine that are owners of Red Robin. Four of them have closed on the island. This thing took no prisoner. You know, I have a friend who's an interior designer. I have, you know, a friend who's a co-host on a radio station. People are going to just, the whole idea that COVID did is it either brought people together or it separated people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in the middle of that.
So you, you know,
go ahead, Ted.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Somebody
okay,
go.
So two things. One is there's background noise, almost like it's a television or something.
Right.
Is there something you can do about that?
Yes, I just did something about that now.
Thank you.
Okay,
sorry.
Perfect. Great. And the other thing, so here's what I'm hearing. COVID is, it's interesting how, you know, they, and excuse if I'm being crude or graphic with this, they talk about how some of the COVID viruses have mutated, but if we're always on the lookout for viruses or some germ that mutates, but what I'm hearing is a human being kind of mutating because of COVID. So you sound like, in a light way, the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, you're the caterer, you're the advertising expert, and many other things. And this may not have been your normal trajectory in life, and you may be representing more people than we care to know who may have been on a pretty solid course of their career, one or two skills that they do well, and they had a job that allowed them to express those one or two skills. And now, because of COVID, people are stepping into lanes that they would have never considered, and they are transferring skills. And Lori, remember, our first show was about transferable skills. So it sounds like you've done that. We're coming full circle. Like, so you have transferable skills, and perhaps you're going into areas you've never done before. So as a human being, you've mutated, for the lack of better words, that you've mutated all of these professional skills that have the potential for driving revenue, and there's this side of you who is of service to people, and if you cannot help them, you will help point them in the right direction. Am I capturing what you're saying?
Yeah, pretty much. I went to school for different degrees that I have in my life, but
okay.
When COVID hit, I actually had to try these hats on and see where they fit and make sure that each hat had a representation in my life. So catering aspect of it, you know, doing certain things for people, making food for them, trying to figure out which hat I was going to wear. So somebody in their direction, because my direction right now is like in the air, then why would I not do that? And I love cooking. So I have a sister out in Rhinebeck. I have a sister in Danbury. And everything is just so crazy because you never know what is next coming out of the news. You don't know where the next vaccination is coming from, if it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know if you are eligible for it. And that, to me, is a liability issue. You don't know if you're even going to get on the waiting list. And I just put one of my dearest friends of mine, the most love of my life, on a waiting list for May. And I'm just like, are you kidding me? So, and I'm 53 years old, going on 54, so I don't qualify anywhere. Because they've taken, like, restaurant workers and stuff like that off the table, because then if they keep them on the table as frontline workers, you have to vaccinate everybody that's in the restaurant, and that's unfair to the elderly, the people that are in nursing homes, frontline workers like police, fire, sheriff's department, you know, troopers, people that are really, really out there. Because the restaurant world is more 18 to 25, kind of like wrong. It's not even kind of wrong. It's wrong, because that 18 to 25-year-old is taking from a 65 to 70-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just like, it's, excuse my crudeness, it's, should I get off the pot for D.C.? You need to seriously prioritize where these are going, what is going on. You know, every 4 years we have a new president. Every 4 years they have, you know, 100 days to figure out what's going on, and then the next three and some change years to get it right. Good luck.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't want that job. But the job that I do have is making sure that if anyone comes to me, making sure that everything by Susan, their needs get met, my needs get met, we meet in the middle, we figure out, you know, where you can afford, what you can afford, and we go from there. I've had to turn people down because they've come to me. I've had to turn people down because they've come to me and said to me that they can only pay like $50 or $100 for the whole thing. And I'm like, that's not even food for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to put them in different directions and show them a little bit of what they can do for themselves, because I'm sorry, I can't go that low.
So, well, I'm curious, what are your degrees in?
I have a culinary background in...
Right.
Actually, I have an associate's degree in culinary background. I have a bachelor's degree in baking specialty. I have a social media and marketing degree and a business degree.
Very interesting.
I could never. I have ants in my pants. I can't sit still. So if I'm learning something, then I'm great.
So how do you see the intersection of all of those from where you're sitting?
I think right now the intersections are colliding, unfortunately, and that's because nobody knows. Nothing's promised. Yesterday is gone. Today we live for today, and tomorrow's not promised. And that's an unsettling feeling for everybody that's in the restaurant world or in healthcare or wherever their profession is. Nothing's guaranteed in life except death and taxes, and maybe not in that order, but it's an unsettling feeling for anybody that needs a paycheck. Everybody's hiring, but when you get in there and there's nobody coming through the door, the person that got hired last is gone. That's
right,
an unsettling feeling.
So as a culinary artist, social media expert, I mean, what do you see, like, what are the possibilities that open up to you with having that kind of educational background?
I can see merging. If somebody goes into a business, let's say somebody starts from the ground up, they're very easy to market because they're eager to get their business off and running. It depends on the location that you're in. It depends on what you're willing to do for your business. It depends the pictures that you take. You have to merge into that lane where everyone can come from a different angle. Like someone can yield from one area and somebody can merge from another area. Some can walk right in. It just depends on the lane of traffic that you're going in. Somebody that's already standing, they just want something better than what they have to draw in their business. You have a business right now that doesn't have alcohol, and you don't understand why you have no business, you need to cut your hours immediately. Go to breakfast and lunch. Generate the business that you want to get through breakfast and lunch, because breakfast is the most important meal of the day and lunch, you know, follows. If you're not getting any business, then you're already cutting your wait staff off and you're making sure that you could still pay your bills. I have a friend of mine that has a cupcake company. He started with cakes. His cupcake kept the lights on. I have another friend of mine that has a dessert place in Plainview. All it takes is sharing their posts and getting it out there to the 45 different sites that are on Facebook. But it gets them out there. My friend has a cookie company, a cookie cake and cupcake company. It's getting her out there, but God knows she's out there, so she's fine. I have so many different friends in so many different areas, and I want to help them all. It's impossible to do so.
So, and with that said, and maybe you've asked this, or already answered this question, but why would you open up during COVID? Like, why now?
Because now is the time that people need people the most. If you shut your eyes to somebody that needs something the most, you don't deserve to have your business when everything's done. This has taught me a lot about people. That has taught me a lot about businesses. You know, there are businesses that are out there that are feeding all of our heroes. They're going over and beyond their ways to make sure that people in hospitals and police departments and emergency rooms that are possibly dealing with your mother or father, they're going out there and they're making sure that they have food. And that, to me, shows humanity and dignity and integrity. If you can't help your fellow man during a crisis like this, don't expect somebody to help you. You have to have your eyes open and your ears open and your mouth closed. Sometimes all it takes is one gesture to turn somebody's life around.
Okay.
You just got to watch.
You learned a lot about business and people. What have you learned about people in the face of COVID-19?
I didn't know what I was going to do with just working for Fridays because it was just two of us and then two managers. It wasn't going to make ends meet. I had a friend of mine ask me, did I want to drive? Did it put mileage on my car? It certainly did. Did it put extra food in my stomach? It certainly did. It showed me about humanity. It showed me, I mean, there were certain places I wouldn't go because they were red zones and yellow zones and orange zones, and I wasn't going to put myself at risk. But it did show me that there are people out there that are willing to help other people without any expectations in return.
Okay. And what did you learn about businesses in this environment?
The fact that businesses were willing to jump and help and not charge anybody, your business isn't doing that well and you're still willing to feed 50 people in a unit, that's humanitarian. That shows me that you know, it doesn't matter that you're not making it right now, but you're going to make sure that other people are being fed. It takes that's a great deal of respect coming from me for that.
Well, that's, you know, it's interesting how we see humanity in people when in times of crisis, which is unfortunate, right? Is that what has to happen to people, that we have to stay in a state of natural disasters and other crises for us to stay in our humanity? And I know
and
you can't answer that. But...
No, I'm going to.
Go ahead.
It's sad that we have to go through a crisis for somebody to open up their lives, to open up your heart. That should be a 7-day-a-week, 24-hour, 365 or 6, with leap year. That should be a 100% kind of thing. Not when Sandy happens or COVID happens or different things that are happening. That should be a 24-hour-a-day job. And it's sad. It's absolutely sad. So I'm just, it sticks me on stupid you can't have any kind of humanity or dignity or integrity or anything like that. Something has to happen to somebody in the world for you to be kind to them. Come on, that's not nice. But you want it in return. And that makes you oblivious to what's going on around you.
Well, from what you're saying and what we're hearing, it seems people are a lot more aware of what's going on. Perhaps we have a hyper-awareness in a way we haven't in the past. So it'll be interesting to see how this shakes out in the next year or two and how long we will be on alert. So you help people. It sounds like you have an intimate relationship and experience with the food or restaurant industry. So how can you help a company in the restaurant industry?
It depends what they need. So if they need people to work there, I'll make a referral. If they need I can do referrals. I can get them people that they do need that are experienced. I can go through people that I know that are in temp agencies to get certain people in there that need their job. There are different websites on Facebook and Instagram that can get them the people that they do need. There's a chef board on Facebook. There's a restaurant board on Facebook that I am part of 24/7. So I look on there. If somebody needs something, you know, I make a recommendation. If they need any kind of marketing and they don't have their corporation doing it, I'll sit down with them. I'll figure out their needs and I'll figure out their price.
Sounds fair.
So you've engaged in services like digital, social media, marketing services for restaurants?
I have.
Interesting. And you've done placement.
I have.
I'll just say this. In the past, no one would have looked to one person to provide those two services. Go ahead.
You're absolutely right, which is why I am Everything by Susan. Because I'm not afraid to jump off the ledge and get you what you need. I'm going to research everything first. I'm going to make sure that everything that you need is something that I can provide. I'm not going to just go in because, you know, there's a paycheck. That would be wrong of me, and it would not be successful for the company. So if I can't do something, I'll be the first person to raise my hand and say, I can't do that. However, I will find you someone that can.
And are you always able to find them someone?
No, I'm not always able to find someone. And that's when I will direct them to their own corporate being unless they're afraid to deal with their own corporate. There are certain places that corporations will just, you know, hey, go. I've seen it. I've watched it. And I'm just like, you're either going to sink or swim. There's no gray area.
So you said something that was interesting to me, and I think other business owners really need to hear it. And you said sometimes people's expectations are unrealistic, and I don't quite know, or I'm not going to put word for word or quotations around it, but someone had said they can do $150 for like a month's worth of work.
That's a very high expectation.
Right, and you said that that's not someone that you could help. And that's something that a business owner struggles with, because when they're not getting their ideal client and they take the person who's not their ideal client on, they either end up, one, it costs the business money or the business owner money, and it creates hostility, or it creates a job that's not thoroughly complete in a way that, you know, the person would normally tackle that job. So at what point, right, with Everything by Susan, do you determine that the fee is right or the job is right, or it no longer is Everything by Susan? Because you can't do a job for $150 a month.
No, I can't. When I evaluate what is all involved, say, let's say I have a designer company that comes to me and they are going to open a cafe within their designer company.
Mm-hmm.
The cafe part is perfect because if you think about it, I don't know if you know about its place called Mongo's, but it's out in Syosset. It's a fabulous coffee place, but they have couches and interior design and a place that you can think. And that was a perfect warehouse setting where interior designers can go and have a cup of coffee and figure out their next strategy. I know the owners of them. They are, their coffee is phenomenal. I'm so glad I don't live close to there anymore. But I admire the fact that they won't take on somebody to market for them because they can do it themselves, because they don't want anyone getting in the middle of their stuff. I would market for them in a heartbeat because their coffee is different and their expectations are where they should be. However, when offered money, it wasn't my expectation. A different company came to me and offered me $150 to do probably about 60 hours of work. I had to turn that person down. Honestly, because that person is absolutely capable of doing that for themselves, and I'm not a charity. I don't need charity. I need work. And that's where I draw the line. Going into a charity function in somebody's mind, I would rather just do what I have to do to make money in a different area, even if that means me going back to work.
And how do you make that, like, how does one, as a business owner, how does one make that determination of what's right? I mean, obviously $150 to 60 hours of work is pretty obvious, but let's say it's not so obvious.
They have to take the spectrums that are involved. They have to figure out if the company is worth the risk,
mm-hmm.
if they are really going to get paid, if a deposit is going to be left,
mm-hmm.
because no matter what is happening, even with COVID, I expect a deposit. Because then if you change your mind, at least I got paid for something. You know, there's specs involved. There's diagrams involved. There's making sure that I get them out the way they need to get out there. There are millions of people out in Long Island that do the same thing I do, except they get contracts and they want, you know, $2,000 to $3,000 a month. How do you do that in COVID? I can't logistically do that to somebody during COVID, which unfortunately is probably a downfall for me.
Mm-hmm.
But if people are struggling and they're looking to go outside their box and they're coming to me and they're struggling, I can't just turn around and say, hey, let me see your annuals to make sure I'm not getting screwed. I don't have a right to do that. Kind of like, it's kind of like a tightrope. You have to get on the tightrope to know if you're going to fall or not. You better have a safety net underneath, though.
Okay. So just real quick, if anyone has any questions or wants to listen in, we can. I'm looking for the phone number. It's 516. Oop, I just lost it. Sorry, guys.
Let's see. Ted, do you have a number to call and ask your questions?
Sure, sure. It's 516-387-1640. That's 516-387-1640. We're kind of covering a few things. Even though you have educational background and experience, you are transferring skills and integrating skills in a way that, you know, most people don't. It sounds like you haven't either. And I have a question, and you know, you've probably answered it. There's a guy in my gym. I live in Jersey, and he's Korean. He has a Korean restaurant, and he said he's in a mid-size Korean restaurant. And he said the large restaurants were murdered by the virus because they had to fill a lot of seats to be profitable, and they, you know, at a tight, they just couldn't do it, and they shut down. Some of the small restaurants struggled. He said with the mid-size, he said he's doing better now from COVID than his business has ever done, and I forget how many years he's been around. He said just somehow with the outdoor seating and the indoor, that this has been beneficial to him. He said the one challenge is hiring wait staff. He said because
yep.
So many people who were waiters, they're getting paid to stay home. So
right.
They have no incentive to go to work. So he said getting people who really want to work instead of sitting home and getting paid, doing nothing. Any suggestions?
Well, it was worse when it was $600 a week incentive. Now it's $300, which, and then another stimulus check is going to come through. So I'm very sure he's making very good money because the corporations that were around him have died, which is an unfortunate thing. The small businesses
died. And that's his benefit. The big competitors have died, so they're going to him, and he has better seating than the small restaurants, right? So exactly.
A mid is like 45 seats, so I can break that down to you. A small is between 10 and 20 seats. A mid is between 25 and 50 seats.
It depends on what state you're in, not this part of Jersey. Where he's smaller than that for a mid.
Okay.
So we don't
I'm
have
so
the
used
traffic
to New York,
that
so.
You have in New York. But, right, we don't
okay.
have the traffic you have. Even though I'm right across the river, I mean, literally, I'm not in Edgewater, but we're a town behind Edgewater, so we're very close. So midsize is a lot smaller over here.
Okay.
Like more like,
but
go ahead.
He's now a big fish in a big,
right.
without anybody around him. So he's swimming perfectly. He's not treading water. and he's not sinking. So he's going to have a hard time getting waitstaff. And the reason for that is people don't want to come off of unemployment. The only way around that is for the governor of New Jersey to put stipulations if he can. Because if they're going to make more money on unemployment, they're not going to get off their tails. If he can give them incentive, if he can give them an incentive to come and work for him, which gives them the stability that they need, and feel that if they're not, you know, doing their part, like waitstaff has to set up when you get in the morning. I don't know about Korean food, but tea, coffee, sodas, waters, you know, there's certain things, there's certain aspects as waitstaff that you have to do when you come in the morning. You have to make things sure things are polished if he's, you know, on the fine side or if he's on fine casual. Things have to look right in order for his restaurant to succeed. Things have to be cleaned. Right. If it wasn't cleaned the night before, it falls on the daytime staff. So if he can offer an incentive for people to come in and make maybe a little bit more than what they're making on unemployment after taxes, then he's got it made. Otherwise, he's still that big fish in a big pond, but he's going to be working his own jobs.
He'll have to fill in the gaps himself.
Pretty much. I mean, he would end up being waitstaff, which saves him labor, or the bartender, which saves him labor. I mean, he's got to be able to look at that whole picture. You know, labor for him, by the time he gets paid, is all of his waitstaff, his cooks, his gas, his electric, his water bill, everything that he's bought for his restaurant. That all has to be paid before he gets paid. So if he's, after everything is said and done, and then he's making a profit without his waitstaff, he needs to look at that. Is it tiring? Probably. You know, is he exhausted? Probably. Is he making it? Definitely.
Yes, he's doing really well, he said. So so that's one of the challenges out of the pandemic. And it was interesting when I our gym opened back up and I saw him and I said, hey, you know, how are you doing? Because I've been to his restaurant. And he said, oh, I'm doing really well. I'm so busy. And I was so surprised to hear someone say that the, you know, I had heard that some people were benefiting from the pandemic. When he laid it out, I thought it was pretty amazing. But his one challenge, as we were saying, is getting sufficient waitstaff. That's the challenge when you become busier than ever.
Yeah, that's unfortunate when people are, you know, making more money sitting on their tail than anything else. That's anybody. That's any small business. Any independent owner that is not a corporation or a franchisee. That's what they're having. They're having that problem. Bagel shops here in Long Island and, you know, in other areas of Long Island and Queens and five boroughs, they can't keep people because, you know, after a week's worth of work, let's say it's $15 an hour, it's $5.40 a week. Lose your unemployment the minute you go over 504. And then, you know, hopefully they're reporting it because that's fraud, but they're going to lose it. And that's for 40 hours a week on their feet. So it's a catch 22. But what
are
you going to do?
And
this is the big question. What are you going to do when the pandemic insurance is up? You're going to have to get a job.
Right.
And that person that offered you a job might not be so inclined to offer you a job after that.
Well, that's true.
Okay.
So what other ways do you think that restaurants could help themselves, right? So they need to market, right? So obviously social media. We know they need to do takeout, but they're short-staffed in the kitchen.
And we're not talking just restaurants, right? Because that applies to a multitude of different businesses, right? Everybody.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I know in the design world, the supply chain is, you know, so disrupted that, you know, we can't get furniture for 20 weeks.
Wow.
But what other ways do you think that business, you know, businesses could help themselves? Because they're stuck.
They can give incentive programs to the people that they need help with.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's say, okay, in the design area, you hire an extra driver to get the furniture, or an extra laborman to get the furniture. You incorporate yourself and get a truck to get the furniture to somewhere else. Because people don't want to hear 20 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking at you like, what? But I needed it yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is everybody's attitude. But I needed it yesterday. Then you should have ordered it yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But I love that. I needed it yesterday. I'm sorry. I wasn't at work yesterday, and you should have ordered it yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Because
an
everyday thing, an everyday thing is an every different day thing. If your designer corporation has a truck on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, get another driver, make sure they're, you know, up to date with all their insurances and stuff, and throw an extra day in there and make it good for your customers, because that's what keeps you in business. Put it out there that you need a driver with a clean driving license and insurance to go to match with the business insurance. You know, make it, you know, worth somebody's while. Say, look, I'll give you $200 cash if you can get this out there. Because the $200 that you're giving somebody, and I'm just throwing that number out just to throw it, you're making it back on that couch or that bed or that mirror.
So
it's just
so
it's
the way,
showing you need the public to come together. You need people that if they say they have experience in this area, to just throw them to the wolves. They either do or they don't. If they don't, you didn't waste any of your money. Is it legal in the state of New York? No. But neither is half the things that people are doing.
Okay. So in the way I was saying, you have transferable skills. You're doing other things and integrating different skills. If we look at restaurants, are you seeing restaurants do things that they've never done before and generating revenues?
Oh, yeah. So one of the corporations that TGI Fridays had to cut their cook's salary almost in half. So what the general managers were doing is, the people that were serving for them, and I don't mean like to-go servers, or actually they were called to-go specialists, they only got to work at night. And any of the tips that got made during the day went into an envelope for the cooks, because that was their incentive to stay and not go on unemployment.
Interesting. Wow.
And it's the smart thing to do, because without your cooks, you're in trouble.
So how did the wait staff feel about that?
Well, it was just me, it was me and another person, and we were both working at night. So if the cooks made an extra $200 a week in tips that were coming during the day, we were banking at night. The minute they did alcohol to go, we were thriving. Absolutely thriving.
Why is that?
TGI Fridays did, their alcohol to go was only a certain amount of alcohol. Like it was a Best Friday Margarita, which is top shelf liquor, Barbados Rum Punch, Long Island Iced Tea, and Mango or Strawberry Mango Henny. Those jugs started at $60 and went to $90. So if you think about it, think about a half a gallon milk container. That's the jug.
Okay.
If you want a strawberry Henny and you want to add some fruit to it, it's an extra $5 for the fruit, because you're getting fresh fruit that's pre-rayed. you're walking out with $100 in alcohol from one jug, and people are coming in, well, not in, but coming and getting it, showing your ID and walking out of it. I mean, that's what kept corporations like TGI Fridays and what is it called? Cheesecake Factory in certain places. That's what kept them alive.
Really? Interesting. And so, and those people are leaving decent tips when they come in. Are those people tipping when they come in and or
I worked,
to pick up?
I worked on my birthday last year. I never worked my birthdays. You know, my birthday landed on a Thursday. I walked out with $740 in tips. I wore birthday
wow.
hats. I let people know. I got to be here on my birthday. You guys have got to take care of me.
Okay. And that part of that gets shared with the cook who is then happy.
No. The tips at night stayed with the person that was working. The tips during the day is what the cooks got. I never worked during the day, and neither did my co-partner. We worked at night only. The GM and one of the other managers, they worked during the day, and they were already getting their salaried and making sure that the cooks stayed. So that was an incentive for the cooks to stay. They got the tips during the day.
Okay. And
everybody
and from
else,
what you're
everybody
saying,
else went on unemployment.
Okay. And from what you're saying, they never presented alcohol to go in the past.
No, that was a New York State no. And I didn't agree with the alcohol to go when it started. I'm like, boy, this is going to be a lot of work for police officers. I mean,
but
they were getting beer and wine and, I mean.
Right.
That's a lot of headache. When Governor Cuomo said alcohol to go, I was like, is he crazy? We're in Long Island and people are already taking chances now. I felt bad for all the police departments around us because you don't know who's carrying a virus. And now you got somebody drunk on the road and that puts any police officer at risk.
Right.
So it was very difficult, you know. I just thought that I was like, the minute he takes alcohol to go off, he'll be fine. It was profitable.
Well, it helped the restaurants survive, though, is what I'm hearing,
it sure
hearing
did.
You say also.
It definitely did. I mean, nobody was buying, no pun intended, nobody was buying Corona beer, but they were buying everything else.
Okay. And maybe you answered this. So you're helping people outside of the restaurant industry as well? Yes or no?
Yes. And the reason for that is I get to learn some things as well. Marketing is marketing. But learning other businesses, like interior design or somebody with patient advocacy or walking into like a bowling alley and getting them to merge with another company that if you buy a burger, you'll get a free game. You know, merge different companies together and let them marry each other, so to speak. And now you've got two places that are open and they're doing well.
Yeah, there's a name for that. I forget.
It's commingling.
Shucks. Yeah. But, okay, but that's very smart. So two entities are able to market their product for in one time. So people are already inundated with a lot of things. So that's a clever way to do it. Integration.
I mean, it's just like if you go into a car dealership, and a friend of mine is the GM over at Hyundai in Hicksville. And he was like, I don't know how to keep people here. I said, merge with Dunkin' Donuts and merge with something that they can go to while their car is being serviced. Then with that, that was kind of profitable for me.
So talk about that. What did you do? What do you mean merge with? What did you do?
So I took the fact that people were coming in and I said, all you have to do is get gift cards from Dunkin' Donuts and give them discounts every time they come in for their service. So you'll get a gift. You'll get a gift card. You'll merge it with your Dunkin' Donuts. You'll get a gift card. You'll get $10 off your service. I made $5,000 off of them. I got 36. I got $5,400 off my new car. That was worth it to me.
Oh,
that was like $10,400. I was able to pay some bills with that. I was able to eat with that. But two companies that you wouldn't think together.
Right. And so Dunkin' Donuts was able to realize more traffic, I assume.
They got more foot traffic. They sent their people over to get, you know, vehicles if they were licensed drivers. So it was a win-win for everybody. You've got to take the least expected person or corporation and merge them with somebody that can give them foot traffic. You'd be surprised what you can come up with.
So you're really out of the box here.
If you want to survive in COVID, you have to go out of the box.
Yeah, that is definitely out of the box. So I guess if anyone's looking to reach you or who needs services or who wants to pick your brain, how do they reach you?
You can go and send me an email. My contact email is everythingbysusan@gmail.com. And I am always on my email, so I'll respond immediately. If there's something I can help you with, we can sit down. I'll write up a contract. You'll leave me a deposit, and we'll go from there. If I cannot help you, then I'll point you in the right direction. And best of luck. I can't ask for a referral fee until you've found somebody. And, I mean, it's, again, like a catch-22.
Very cool.
Any last words? Go ahead. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, is there any way you can help people virtually?
Absolutely. We can go on a Zoom call. I can show you what you need to do with your business. You know, you don't have to meet me in person. We can both go on that Zoom call. I can do a WordPress. I can do a PowerPoint. I can do whatever that they need me to do to spike up their sales and really get into it, because I do know that people, it's hard to talk with a mask on. So the best way to do this is on a Zoom call where you don't have to wear a mask, and especially in the restaurant industry, since I know the ins and outs of a restaurant industry, I know what it's going to take for you to stay open, what it's not going to take, and no one should ever be taking chances during COVID. You know, when they mean close at 10 o'clock, if you have alcohol, your last seat should be 8 o'clock. They're coming in and they're taking people's licenses just for 5 or 10 minutes over. I don't care who you know. They're just trying to prove a point. What they just don't realize is they're killing people. People can't feed their family. They're losing their homes. I've never in my life seen so many homes for sale on Long Island.
Or everywhere. I mean, it's all over. I mean, you know, we have listeners everywhere in the world. So, and it is, it's all over. It's Italy. It's, you know, it's China. It's everywhere. And it's sad.
It is sad. And all it takes is, I mean, unfortunately, COVID has been like a domino effect.
Right.
It took one person to start it. And now it's like everybody is getting it. It's just insane. It's like, should I put something on in the morning and go outside? You know, should I actually venture outside? Or do I just want to hang out on Zoom and have my conversations there? Because it's scary now. There's no vaccinations. And even if there is, you're not getting on one until at least May.
Right.
So we're going to be doing this for a while. I don't think that opening up the restaurants in full bloom right now is a good idea at all. Because you don't know what's walking in. One sneeze, it's all over. The amount of droplets that come out, even if you have a mask on, it doesn't take a mask anymore. You can shake somebody's hand by accident and touch your face and it's all over. You have to take precautions out there with COVID.
Yes, you do. And on that note, Susan, thank you for being an amazing guest.
Thank you.
If anybody wants to reach you, do you want to repeat that?
If anybody needs to reach me for anything, or if you just want to talk about what I can do for your business, or what I may be able to help you to find for your business, you can reach me at everythingbysusan@gmail.com.
Perfect. And what can you do for people?
I can do whatever you need me to do as long as I can. And if I cannot, I will refer you out somewhere else.
Perfect. And you have those
connections. I think you were hoping she would just say everything.
I won't ever commit to everything, because if there's something that I can't do, then it's a liability issue for me. So I will let people know that if I can do everything, I will. If I cannot, then I will refer you to someone who can.
Right. Perfect. Very good.
Thank you.
So
thank you for your time and sharing your wisdom and how you are navigating in our new world order, but this virus is creating a level of order none of us can remember experiencing. So not in our memories. So thank you.
No, thank you. Thank you for having me on. The both of you need to stay safe. And you know where to reach me if you need anything.
Yep. Thank you so much, Susan. And everyone, we'll be back on air Thursday night at 7 o'clock. And thank you. And Ted, have a great night. Everyone, have a great weekend.
Awesome. You as well.
Good evening,
thank
everyone.
You.
Take care. Goodbye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.